Welcome if this is the first time you're here with us. And it's good to come. It is now quieter after this morning. And we have been studying the book of Psalms. And we have been reading from Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. And we know that this psalm has been divided into 22 sections. And tonight, our section is from verses 81 to 88. And our subject is God's Word is Faithful. God's Word is Faithful. Now, every section of Psalm 119 starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you open your Bible, you will see a letter. And this section starts with the 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Kaf. Now, the meaning of this letter is hand, a cover, indicating to cover, to protect. That's the meaning of this letter. Now, the letter has like the word of in this letter means the word is kapef. And has, you know, those who study, they said that the numeric value of this word is 100. Now, those who do math, you know, but 100 can be 10 times 10. Is that right? Yeah. But also, it can be 3 times 7 plus 3 times 7 plus 3 times 7 plus 37. 100? Magnus is calculating. Is that 3 times 7 plus 3 times 7 plus 3 times 7 plus 37? All right. Well, so they said that number means the Messiah. But we are not going into that this evening. And the number points to Jesus as the living Word. But if we check carefully, this psalm is very gloomy. Is dark, the section, and black. However, one scholar puts it, a star shine out in the last verse, which gives promise of the dawn. Today is Easter. He is risen. Oh, okay, that was a practice. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And so it's good to start with the last verse of this section, which, like some scholar says, stars shine out in the last verse because give us promise. Shall we read together this last verse of this section and then we pray as we reflect upon this section of the book of Psalms? Let's read together. In your unfailing love, preserve my life that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. Let us pray. Before we reflect about God's word is faithful. The word of God is faithful. Father, we want to hear your voice this evening. Help us to understand a little bit more about your word. We place into your hands our time together. And again, we remember the people in Sri Lanka, our brothers and sisters, those who die. We pray for the families. That you can bless them. You can give them comfort and your peace during this difficult time. So, Father, bless our time together this evening because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior who is risen. Amen. Now, the psalm, we can divide it, but I divide it into three parts. The first part is a confession and a petition. You know, in verses 81 and 82, if you follow in your Bibles, the psalmist admitted that something has happened to him while he was waiting. He says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I had put my hope in your word. My soul longs for your salvation, Lord, but I put my hope in your word. He has a problem. He has a situation in his life. We don't know what is it. But he says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation. He says he wishes for no deliverance, but the deliverance that comes from God. His soul faints. It's the same in verse 26 of Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail. He confesses that his strength is gone. He confesses, says, I feel weak. I feel powerless. And the word that he uses here, it says that the psalmist wanted things to happen. Maybe we don't know what's going on, but he wants things to happen. We faint for things. People faint for things. Maybe people want to provision. People want success. People, we are not feeling well, and we want things to happen. So the psalmist says, I long. I am waiting for you. I had put my hope in you, Lord. Now, it's interesting here that he's saying, well, I know I want something to happen, but he says here, I put my hope in you, Lord. I am waiting. I will wait upon your word. Now here, the Hebrew word describes here that he wanted things to be completed, to be whole. So he says, I am waiting for you, word. He has faith that God will accomplish what he needs through his word. He knows that he's going to do it, not because he's good, but because his word is faithful. Verse 82 says, my eyes fail looking for your promise. I said, when will you come for me? Now here they said, well, Lord, I wanted you to just do it. But how long? When is going to happen? Have you ever wondered that the feeling here is, you know, okay, let's try to put it in a way. When you are waiting for an appointment with the NHS, an operation. You know the feeling that you are in the bottom of the list and you phone and say, well, you are number 100. You see that feeling? Or maybe not. Okay, I'll try to put another example then. The feeling here is that he wanted things to happen. He wanted to be in control. And when we feel like that, when is it going to happen? How long? It's because we don't have control of things. And we need to be careful because sometimes we want things to happen and we know that the word of God says something that it will happen, but we want it now. So the psalmist says, when is it going to happen? And then he goes on to say, I'm going to check my condition. And the psalmist considered his condition. He says, verse 83, though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. The psalmist here is reflecting on how hard life can be and how we can allow the circumstances of life to embattle us, to make us bitter, to make us hard. The phrase that the psalmist used is a phrase that all Bedouin travelers, the dwellers in the desert, they will know. They will have the wineskin. And then what happened is, this was a container made of animal skin. And it was very useful when it was soft and it was pliable. And then, you know, they were traveling and they will have the wineskin there. And the fire was there for cooking. The fire was there to be warm, and the smoke will go and damage the wineskin, the rain and all that. So that's the picture the psalmist is using. So the people reading his word in those days, they will understand. So the smoke will cause the skin to become hard and not pliable, not soft, and it will be useless. And it will be thrown away. Here the psalmist is saying he feels all dry and hard. He was new, but now he feels useless. But listen what he says. I have not forgotten your estatutes. I have not forgotten your estatutes. So often life is hard, and even though we know that God has promised that he eventually he will deliver us. That smoke come to us and we feel weary and we feel tired and we want to give up. We allow the circumstances of life to pound us down, and all the smoke of this world will harden us to the point that we feel useless. But God is good. All the time? Oh, I got you, isn't it? God is good. All the time. That's just what the psalmist is holding on. And like the psalmist, we must never forget the attributes of God. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? Help me. I am in trouble, Lord. How long? How long did this happen? We don't know what's going on in his life. And I know that we all have in this life many problems and situations, and the death of in the family or job situation that was causing our lives to be unease. And we tend to ask, how long? We all want God to act in our timing and deliver us from any trouble or pain or discomfort. But God knows and understands what you need. God knows and understands what I need. And the book of James in the New Testament writes that when trouble comes our way, we should count it as joy. What? That's right. That's what the Bible says. He says, joy. We should be thankful for the hard times because they help us to grow and develop as believers, as well as giving us a greater appreciation of when things are good. You know, when things are happening, you know, when we have peace and joy, we enjoy it. And I always use this, you know, we don't like pain. We don't like when we go through hard times. And let me tell you something, and I always use this illustration. You know, when I joined the Navy, I was not like my friends. You know, my friends were Marines. They were stronger than me and all that. So, but I like reading and studying, so I was doing well. And I remember the military instructor. I hated the military instruction. You know, and you run 20 miles, and I remember the words of this, the military instructor said, enjoy your pain. Enjoy. I said, what? What is he talking about? That was me, you know, and I have to make that confession. I was running. What is he talking about? And, enjoy your pain, because when time comes, you're going to use it. And then after a while, I understand what he was talking about. You know, making a lot of push-up and all that. And then gradually, after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I noticed my mouth and feel so terrible. You know, you are in shape. The pain, carrying your equipment, running, you feel ready to defend yourself and to defend people. That is what the psalmist is telling us. And sometimes we ask, how long? And I used to go and say, I want this session to finish. I want to go home. He was right. He was saying, enjoy because it's free. When you go out, you have to pay. You know how much the gin cost. You see, you know, a good one. Now, please don't misunderstand, you know. There is nothing wrong with the psalmist's word here. It is fine for us to cry out for God and to seek his intervention in our lives. But what I am intending to say here this evening is that our comfort is not as important to God as our obedience and our submission to him. When we cry out to God for deliverance from our sufferings, we also need to assess our lives and see what area in my life needs to be changed. To be right, are we in full submission to him? Is our hearts in tune with his desire? The psalmist says, help me, I am in trouble. What is this trouble? And this is for me, the main part in this psalm. Shall we read together verse 85? The arrogance dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. But let's read from the New King James Version. The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. This is the key here. Let's see. In this verse, we see the psalmist revealing his troubles. You know, okay, there are people who are attacking him. They try to accuse him of things that they were not right. And in what he said, he was convinced that they could not be in tune with the love of God. And that is a true statement, my friends. They do not live according to your law, says the psalmist. If you are in tune with God, if I am in tune with God, if I am in tune with the love of God, if I am in tune with his word, you are not going to attack people. You are not going to abuse people and seek their destruction or to tear them down as the enemies of the psalmists are doing. The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. Live according to your law is a phrase that reveals an overall attitude of those opposing the psalmist. The focus is not on pleasing God, but on self-satisfaction, on self-justification. They want to do it their own way. When we don't live according to the love of God, we make it up and we go along and try to find ways to do it our way, even at the expense of others. So these people believe that they are doing good in spite of what they are doing to the psalmist. We must examine ourselves daily and realize that our choices and actions affect so much more than just who we are in our lives. We must seek to exalt God and lift others up in all our actions. You see, the two commandments. What is the first commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. What is the second one? Love your neighbor. So the problem, like I said this morning, is that sometimes we don't surrender our lives 100%. And so the first commandment is gone. Because love your God with all your heart. Oh, you know what? I like Christianity on this bit, but I don't like that bit. I will not do it. And I'm telling you, my devotions go through, now I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy and, you know. But that's my God. So the psalmist says, they don't live according to your law. Let's see what we can learn. Finally, the psalmist acknowledges his faith in the word of God. Shall we read together this wonderful verse, 86? All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I have been persecuted without cause. The New King's Version says, all your commands are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. How many of you have been accused of saying something that you haven't? Or something that you know is wrong? Well, that's what the psalmist is expressing here. Persecuted with falsehood is an age-old tactic by the enemy. He can even persecute you with the truth of your past, but that truth is changed in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? I love the testimony. Do you remember the testimony of Pierce this morning? He said, I was unable to see to say I love you. And God changed him, and he was saying I love you to everyone. Praise the Lord. Who can do that? Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. So now lies by our enemies and falsehood by the evil one who lied to you and told us that we cannot be used by God. The enemy comes and says, you know what? You cannot change. That's the way you are. You know, it's impossible. You are beyond redemption. Lies. And Easter is about what Isaiah says. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Do you believe that? All your commands are trustworthy. So what the Lord is saying here, he says, Jesus paid it all. So if you feel, I cannot change, I cannot go to church because, you know, I want to live my life this way, I cannot be obedient. Lies. And the accuser comes and says, you cannot do that. The psalmist proclaims a steadfast fact here in this verse when he says, all your commandments are trustworthy, meaning that God's word and promise, you know, is sure. We can rely on them. And we as a Christians, we are not perfect people. Are we? We are just forgiven. And I'm going to make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. Everyone's going to make. And we need to go to that cross and ask forgiveness. Because if we don't do it, it's because the Holy Spirit is not living in us. We are forgiven. And then we hold on to the words that Jesus said, I am the way. Thank you for leading us this evening. You know, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. His commandments will not fail. The word of God is faithful. Verse 87. The enemies, they almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. It was so hard, and maybe that, like the wineskin being affected by the smoke, and he feels useless, he feels attacked, he feels almost to give up. And the psalmist confesses that he is worn out by the oppression that he experiences. But notice what the psalmist says here. They have almost, here the psalmist revealed that although there were plans of destruction, he was delivered. The psalmist says, I trust in your word. God is going to deliver us when we need him. And this is the promise for us. The world will try to crush us. Like our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. Praise the Lord, because maybe in the future we are going to have more churches built there. Because the enemy tried to destroy, but his name will never, you know, go down. It will be glorified. His name will be above all names. God is going to deliver and we will not be shaken. That's what the word of God says. Now, the last verse is, let's read it again. The verse that we read in the beginning. And this is the dawn. This is the beauty of this psalm. Let's read the last verse. In your unfailing love, preserve my life that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. In your steadfast love, give me life. A steadfast love is a love that endures. A love that lasts. Unfailing love is a love that is there in spite of circumstances or situation. Here the psalmist proclaims his plea to God. Give me life in your love. With the love that endures, I pray you give me life. We seek that love. The love of my children may fail. The love of my wife may fail. The love of my friends may fail. But the love of God is unfailing love. Your unfailing love, he says, preserve my life. In Christ Jesus, what we celebrate this Sunday, Easter, we have the ultimate expressions of steadfast love. God sent his Son to submit and surrender to a plan to die on that cross, to take my guilt, to take your guilt. God's love wrapped itself in flesh, and he provided a reconciliation. I am like the sons, we need to endure, and we need to cry out, and they say, God, you know, preserve my life. You know why? Because God's word is a word of promise. And everything we learn from this book is a promise that will come to pass. Are you asking the same question? Help me. When? How long? Maybe you cry, but until you are willing to be able to serve him without placing limitations on him, it will not happen. God's love will be a foreign concept. I pray that we all come to know God. For the psalmist, the word of God is the source of joy and comfort. So when you feel down, read your word. When you feel joyful, read your word. When you feel troubled, read your word. Because you can find joy, you can find comfort, and you can find that God loves you so much. Here is love, vast as the ocean. Are you willing, this Easter, to surrender to God? Because God's word is faithful. In whatever your circumstances, maybe like the psalmist, the only thing you are to do is to surrender. Surrender all. And he will give you peace. He will give you hope. He will give you salvation. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the day that you overcome death and you gave us hope and salvation. I pray for that person that feels that is beyond redemption, that feels troubled because enemies are around him or her, that feels that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. I pray that he or she will be able to surrender his or her life to you and rely on your unfailing love. And I pray that he or she trusts in your faithful word, they will be able to love you in obedience, in truth, knowing that everything you said in the Bible will happen. So thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray your blessing as we leave this building, as we continue to proclaim that he is risen indeed. Amen.